Snoochie Boochies.
Snoggins.
Snoggins, everyone. Hello, and welcome back to View.
Askew.
Bless you.
I forget every single time that it's a dual duty to introduce the podcast like that. So I think this is what, episode four? I think every single time you can hear a ever so slight delay. I'm like, oh, right. Yeah.
And this is the one where I thought, Thesh maybe forgot. What do I do? Oh, does he know?
What? Oh, and then there you are. Every time.
But it's good, you know. Including the outros. Yes.
including in the same podcast. So it's at least two times a pod. I forget. That's anyway, right. Kevin Smith's movies is the premise.
That's right. Or we are chronicling and blunt manning the films of Kevin Smith's.
And what is a podcast if not a chronicle? Let's be honest.
Yes. That's right. You know, when you look back on the chronicles of our time, most of them are podcasts.
Which people are doing on the reg. We're like, oh, yeah. Gotta go through those chronicles, man.
Hey, you know, people on you go to a restaurant, a coffee shop, people are on their first dates and they're getting to know each other and they're nervous and they're going, so what are some of your favorite chronicles?
What's chronicle mean? I think I know, but I want to know I know. So I'm going to go ahead and Google that.
My gun to head guess is a story or a recap. Okay.
I think record was what I was thinking.
I'm seeing a factual written account of important or historical events. Okay.
So like a record.
So it's like not just a story, because a story can be, you know.
Subjective.
Yes. I went to Whole Foods and they were out of paprika. Can you believe it? Versus.
I can't believe that, honestly.
No. It'd be outrageous. You'd have to talk to somebody. Whole Foods doesn't have any paprika?
That's pretty outrageous.
What is this, 2020? Supply chain issues? Get me a manager. It's 2023, damn it.
Everyone knows the term Karen now, including senior citizens. And it's fun to be in customer service now because of it.
Do you get a lot of, I don't want to be a Karen, but.
Yep. Yep. As well as the actual genuinely chill dudes or genuinely chill people who are very old being like, see you later, Karen, to other guests who are annoying. It's a trip, man. The world we're living in, man, it's a trip, dude.
Sometimes I wake up and go, did I drop a tab of shrooms? Because this shit is crazy.
Sorry, I was taking a big drink of, let's just say, water for all intents.
Wink, wink. We ain't recording video on this one, so listeners, you'll just have to trust us.
So today, as I said, is episode, I think, right? It's four, right?
Yes. Episode four.
A New Hope. It's Dogma. 1999's Dogma. My first question out the gate. Dogma 99 is like a thing that has nothing to do with Kevin Smith. Like, Dogma 99.
Yes. Dogma, I think it's 95.
Oh, is it 95? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Which was
that makes me less confused then. Okay.
A Danish movement in film. Which is pretty cool. There's some good ones.
Sure. Julie and the Donkey Boy, right?
Yes. The Celebration is a good one I finally saw recently.
Cool.
They're all movies that are like shot on location.
With rules.
Very much like, yes. Like, you can't bring in props. You can't build set pieces. Everything has to be there. It's like basically trying to like make it real and authentic, you know.
Gotcha. Okay.
Take away some of the
artifices. I thought that was 99 and I thought Kevin Smith and his postmodern wisdom was making, thumbing his nose up at whatever. Okay, so it's not. Good. Clarified. Great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
but
baby.
But dogma basically means rules.
Yeah.
Is what it's, in its simplest of terms. It just, dogma is just.
Yes, so, beliefs accepted by members of a group is what Wikipedia says.
So we're going to get into this a lot over the course of this. I was raised in the Catholic Church. And, there's a lot that comes with that. And the notion, at least, of in my immediate circles of the relationship to Catholicism was church rules versus people rules versus God's rules. So it's like, here's what actually it's about, God's rules. And then this is what the church uses to do whatever they want. And then this is on the individual level, what you bastardize even further from the church to say what works for you. Which I think God's rules and person's rules are fine. Church rules is where I'm like, what is the point of who is this serving beside? But anyway, that's all too broad and big to get into right at the top. Dogma.
Yes. Hey, folks, this episode is going to be a spiritual episode.
Triggered.
Ooh. Watch out, you atheist, hipster, cool guy. You might become religious after this episode.
Oh, okay. That's right. I was thinking the opposite, but okay. But that's what I... So this movie kind of is why this podcast exists, because I randomly threw it on at work one night and went, oh, wait, no, I do still like this. And we texted about it, and then that led to me watching more of them and being like, oh, I got to talk about these movies, you know?
Yes.
This movie, he's going for a lot here.
That's right.
And that's often a loaded term, and I think it is still here, but I don't mean that to say it's... I think whenever you say that, it's like, and there's no way he could pull it off. I think given the scale and his previous stuff and where he ultimately goes, I'm like, yeah, he kind of pulled off exactly what he wanted. Just a matter of if other people wanted it.
Yes.
You know?
Well, you know, in the last episode, I said I went into Chasing Amy being like, oh, I'm going to defend this. I love this as a kid. I ended up being a little bit like, I don't love it today. And I think I came into Dogma being like, oh, I'm going to like rail on this. There's no way this holds up. And I think I liked it.
Yeah.
I do think, too, it's especially watching the first three in a row where it's like this guy's movies are all over. You know, he doesn't follow, not that he needs to, but like, you know, a conventional screenplay structure and Hero's Odyssey, Hero's Arc, Joseph Campbell.
Journey. Hero's Journey.
Hero's Journey. That's the one. That's the one. But yeah, this movie is like a screenplay. It's like a real screenplay.
Right. So again, I was 8 or 9 when this came out. So I wasn't like, I'm not going to pretend to have my thumb on the pulse of anything that was going on at the moment. But from what I can glean is that when, you know, it was coming out, maybe a little bit of the energy was, oh, he's trying to mature. He's trying to fit himself into the system. He's trying to do whatever. I think that really only is represented in the sense that, like you said, it follows more of a structure and there are movie stars in the movie.
Yes, yeah.
Other than that, it's still a pretty weird esoteric thing. It's a little less colloquial, but like, I don't know. I texted you in the middle of the night about a week ago that I was watching 2004's Saved, and I'm just like, what a different... I know the last couple of years have been pretty wild for us over here in the United States of America, maybe the world at large. Things have really changed. Like, I know there's like, with streaming, there's crazy transgressive stuff available in every home at the push of a button. But because of that, nothing gets its weight anymore. So you can be as controversial in any direction as you want, in the same way that this QAnon movie about sex trafficking is like making money too. It's like, again, there's no monoculture. At the time when there was, you could have Mandy Moore, a nice like Midwestern representing pop star, be in a movie that's like thumbing its nose at, you know, mega churches. And the fact, not that this was like the highest budget big, and these aren't the biggest names in the world necessarily either, but the fact that this was just like, hey, we're doing it and we're releasing it in theaters and people can go see it. I don't know. I've just been ruminating a lot lately on the notion of, wow, this was in theaters. This was like, I watched High School High starring John Lovitz the other day because it was free on YouTube. And, you know, I got to have something on while I eat. And I'm just like, people paid money to go sit in a room with strangers and watched this. And I know movie theaters very much still exist to this day, but like that kind of stuff. Big Bully starring, you know, Roseanne's husband and Rick Moranis.
Tom Arnold. Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was in a movie theater. Carpool starring Tom Arnold. It was in a movie. So, I don't know. It is this whole podcast kind of is like a time capsule, and that's a chronicle, if you will, of how things have changed and what leads to what. And I don't know, there's something so fascinating about this movie where it's like, again, you said it's a real movie, but it's tackling something that I don't think any real movie would anymore in a way that is not just iconography. I feel like if you're going to have religious stuff in there, it has to be like The Nun 2 in theaters today. Like, it has nothing to do with religion. It's using religion in the same way that Terrifier is using clown iconography. It has nothing about clowning. It's just a vehicle for jump scares, right?
Yes.
This is a guy whose real religion is comic books, taking that and applying it to what religion he was raised with and realizing they're not so different after all.
I was going to say, at one point, my big takeaway was like, oh, he is the way that in all of his movies prior to this, they're like digging into Star Wars and like, well, actually, if you look at this or that, like, oh, Darth Vader was a white guy, or the, you know, this is, oh, this, and it's like, oh, he's just applying that lens to the Bible, you know?
But again, this is our trigger warning here for whatever. But like, that's all it is. That all of it is just really good graphic novels that people went, oh, I should take some lessons away from this.
Yeah.
Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like,
and I always do. Here's my question for you, Fesh. How do you think? How do you think the world came to be? How do you think people came to be? Which again isn't really specific. And I'm sure. I guess I always kind of thought, like, my thing with the Bible and the history is probably, like, because I also should say, like, for context, like, my dad is, like, obnoxiously atheist sometimes. He's one of those, like, not obnoxious, but,
he's science.
Like, he's science. He, like, hated going to church as a kid. Yeah. He, like, sort of stick up his ass about it a bit, you know. Not aggressive, you know, not like, he's no Ricky Gervais, he's no Christopher Hitchens, he's not like,
Who's Christopher Hitchens?
He's like a British essay writer, not, he's dead, but he wrote
you've lost me at British, it's fine.
Yeah. God's not real, you know, stuff like that, like, the fallacy of God.
Yeah.
Shit like that, you know, or it's like,
yeah.
What a party you are. But, so that background, and so... But then my mom, was raised a little more religious and sort of lax,
like,
but like
Protestant or Lutheran or non-denominational or you don't
vague,
know.
Vague, just extremely vague. Got married in a Unitarian church, all the churches I went to were that, which is, which I then learned about, like, The Simpsons makes fun of a lot. I was like, what? Yeah. So growing up, I'm like, huh? But, all of
the Simpsons go to church. It's so crazy. Again, it's I don't know. Just times have changed.
Now the Simpsons would go to watch a video on Marge's phone. Am I right?
spoiler alert for the Haunted Mansion movie that came out a few months ago. I remember watching it and just being like, okay, so this Owen Wilson thing, he's a priest. It's a Disney movie. He's not going to actually be a priest. They can't be like, Christianity is right. They're not saying it's wrong either. It's just he's going to be a con man or something in it because it's too spicy of a thing to be in there. There was an SNL sketch, and this is the kind of pedantic bullshit that I bring to the table, that was like, you know how they do their unnecessary rapping just to be like, we're showing the actual Bravo logo at the front of it for no real reason, and then the sketch has nothing to do with whatever. Uh-huh. It was like Disney Channel television show, and it took place at like a Catholic school, and I was just watching. It's like, there's no world in which the Disney Channel places a television show at a Catholic school. Like,
yes, yeah, yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. It's why did I say that one? What was the one I said before that? Oh, the Haunted Mansion. So just the notion of like, the Simpsons go to church in the same way that they, you know, in a lot of movies, they order beer.
Like, yeah,
it's Christian because at the time that was like the thing we were allowed to do because it felt generic and white enough that it doesn't matter.
Yes.
But now it's like, oh, we're not going to do any of that, it feels like. And that's I'm okay with never seeing church in a TV show if it's not about that as well. I don't care. But this movie is very much about that. And I think that is, you know, that makes quite a bit of difference. I'm going to say I love this movie. This one really rocks me up. And it's one of those, I've seen it twice before this rewatch. And, you know, in the early aughts. And it's one of those things where stuff stuck with me that I didn't even realize until I rewatched it this time to be like, oh, that's why I'm constantly thinking about it, is because I saw it in Dogma. And like one of the most me things that this movie does is like, oh, God periodically goes to the Jersey Shore to play ski ball. I'm like, damn right he does. Like, yeah, if I were an omnipotent being, well, could do whatever I wanted, yeah, I would go to the Jersey Shore to play skee ball every once in a while. Like, that rules so hard, and that's where this movie starts. It starts with, am I remembering this correctly? Is this right? Is the initial god we see Bud Cort? We open on, like, a person who looks unhoused, and then he gets beat up.
Down by the shore, where a great episode or moments in The Sopranos take place.
Of course. And then three hockey punks beat up some guy, and that's how the movie starts, which is like, I'm immediately like, yeah, cool way to start a movie, man. Like,
it is Bud Cort. Wow. It's
Harold himself, who I contend should have played Luke Skywalker. I have to bring it up whenever I can.
Was he in the running?
I don't know. I don't think so. No. But he's probably a little too old, honestly, when they actually came around. But I watched Harold and Maude the other day again, and I'm just like, this guy's got good energy. I don't know. I like it. But I was just recasting Star Wars in my head at the time. I was just like, yeah, all right, Bud Cort. Throw Columbo in there. get Burt Reynolds. Like, I don't know. It could be a more 70s-y showcase of
have a Benny Hill moment.
Yeah, this would be really fun. I love this opening, and then does it go right into the our star showing up for work, or is there another preamble before that?
I believe before that we see Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Oh my god! Yeah, god, I love this.
The bus station, right?
I thought it was an airport in this one, the opening.
I think, something like that. Yes.
Yeah. And it's Damon who is, oh, by the way, I'm Fesh, a.k.a. Bartleby.
And I'm JZT, a.k.a. The Hump Daddy, a.k.a. Like,
Loki my joke. Loki, I'm the Bartleby to your Loki.
That's right.
He has a lot of male friendship duos in his canon, and I would like to.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Which one's Loki? Is Matt Damon or Ben Affleck?
I honestly don't remember, but what I do like about this movie is the switch at the end. Mm-hmm. The whole time I am watching, I'm like, which one's me and which one's JZT? And it's like, oh, at the end, they kind of switch roles anyway. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But Matt Damon is arguing with a nun about God not existing in a very, every conversation we've had about this shit with people who think they know better. But she's buying it. And then Ben Affleck's watching and scoffing. And then this is the moment where we go, guys, we're in a very fictionalized universe. It's very different from Kevin Smith you're used to, where he explains... I don't know, maybe in a Kobayashi Maru way, I we'll get to in a minute, but that we're angels cast out of heaven, and we're trying to get back. We've met God, we know God's real, and we're going to try to disprove everything, because, hey man, we don't like that we were cast out of heaven. And that's what's up. They're going to go, there's a new... church in Jersey, in Red Bank, I want to say.
Yes.
That basically they're like, hey, if you walk through the doors, fresh start, which is a very strong tenet of Catholicism, is the notion of, reconciliation and being able to absolve pretty much anything if you just do the right steps. And this one's the easiest one. Just come on in, and that's enough. And because church law is as strong as God law within Catholicism, which doesn't quite... Okay, sure. That by doing so, their original sin stuff will be absolved, proving God wrong. And if you prove God wrong, you prove all facts wrong. Black becomes white, down becomes up, all of that. And so everything will disappear. Those are the... You want to talk about stakes? This ain't no portal shooting up into a sky here. So it's
girl,
a lot to get up. It's a,
girl, it's a... there ain't no Ultron in this movie.
Exactly. But it's a lot to get off the ground very quickly. But he gives it to two, you know, chatty movie stars, and they I think it works. It works. I don't know. Nothing, not as much dialogue made me, you know, wince in this as other three so far. And maybe because there's a lot more exposition and plot.
Yes.
That I'm used to hearing that being dealt out, you know, a little callously, but yeah.
There's more driving to a point. Yeah, there's less like, I mean, you still got Jay being Jay.
Of course. Jay's going to be Jay.
Jay going to be Jay, you know. But, yeah. I got to say, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck do a great job in this.
Yeah.
Because I wonder how much of this was a favor to be in this movie.
Well,
cause this
so
is...
Good Will Hunting was 2 years prior?
Yes. And
which I found out Kevin Smith is a producer on.
He's a producer on, yeah.
So does he have an Oscar because of that?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go Kevin.
I think it was one of those things where it's just like Kevin Smith and Ben Affleck were friends because when Ben Affleck was still like an up-and-coming actor, and it was like, hey, would you read the script we wrote? I was like, okay. And then I think just like gave it to – I think at one point they asked Kevin Smith to direct. It was like, would you want to direct Good Will Hunting? He's like, no, I'm not – this is not my kind of – I would be bad for this. And then maybe, you know, someone
– shout-outs to Kevin for like kind of knowing where he's at.
Yes, yeah.
I re-listened to his appearance on Blank Check, and he does say something like, I'm not so much a filmmaker or director as I am a fan who aggregated his interests. And it's like, yeah, that's – it shows, but also I respect that you know that. Like, he's not – he doesn't have the pretension, I guess.
He's not reaching for the brass ring, you don't think? He doesn't think he's going to be in the main event one day?
We've done a pretty good job of not bringing up wrestling on this podcast so far, but anyway.
Oh, wait, but I should just say, folks, don't worry. Our All Out recap episode is coming out soon. We'll run down the card for AEW All Out.
We won't have terrible British accents talking through
it. No. We won't do that. Some of it, we recorded it before some certain events happened, but I think it's still a good episode, you know?
Anyway. I'm bad at research. I'm sorry. And I just go off of vibes and feelings.
Hell yeah.
What is our star's name? I know she was in Men in Black.
Linda Fiorentino.
Linda Fiorentino works at an abortion clinic.
Yes. She had the energy of like someone who was on ER, but
absolutely.
She's not.
Absolutely.
But that.
Really? That is shocking.
Let's see. Linda Fiorentino. Beautiful Italian name. Is she Italian, though? Oh, she was born on March 9th.
How about that? Taurus.
In Philadelphia. Born and raised. Oh.
Wow, she was born in 1958, so she is 41 in this movie.
Wow. Which is cool, you know?
I would not have guessed that, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is cool.
I was wondering so this. You kind of. Oh, yeah. Go first.
Go ahead.
I was wondering if at one point, because some of the way the I feel like this actor, she has a kind of, you know, a heavy deadpan energy, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I was wondering, was this written? I know it was written a long time ago. It took a while to get made. Kind of wondered if like he had Joey Lauren Adams in mind at one point.
I wouldn't be surprised.
There were certain lines of hers where I'm like, this might work better out of her mouth.
Sure.
It doesn't... Sometimes it's a little too deadpan for her, and it's like... Or, I mean, again, this is the whole challenge of acting in a Kevin Smith movie. It's like making unreadable sentences.
That's the thing, is like, I think all Kevin Smith movies and characters are written to be performed by Kevin Smith.
Yes. Yeah.
But he knows that that can't be the case. So, yes. But anyway, what I was about to say is like, yeah, this is the first time the movie is fully, you know, the hero, the main character is a woman, not just, she's not just there to, you know, skate in, drop some advice and then leave. Like this, it's her journey.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, she's the last Scion. So,
yes,
get used to hearing phrase a whole lot.
You know, she goes to church every week. It's kind of her thing. I think we first see her at a church, and we do a tracking shot through the church, and everyone's like asleep. Kids are fighting, you know, but she's there, and she's then as mentioned, works in an abortion clinic, and her co-worker, Jeanine Garofalo,
Jeanine,
who in my mind was like in so much more of this movie than one scene. But I mean, you know, kudos to her for being the most memorable part for me, I guess.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't remember anything that she did now, but I remember being in it. She's like, you go to church still, huh? That's weird. And that's pretty much it, right?
Yes.
And
she tried
Florence,
to set
you know, just
her...
like, well, you know, I want to, you know, I used to feel so much more hopeful as a kid. What's going on with the world today? Meanwhile, we cut to more of those skater kids, and then, what's his name? Jason Lee in a seersucker suit and a straw hat, looking very old school, looking very cool, and he's killing ladies.
Yeah.
Or a lady. Or whatever.
He questions the lady. He's like, do you have central air? And she's like, yeah. And then slam-o, she's dead.
Yeah. It's cool. This movie's cool.
It's a cool movie.
So basically, we gotta beat our angels, Loki and Bartleby, to the church in Red Bank and make sure they don't enter so that existence doesn't get flipped inside out. And on your way, you will meet prophets. I forget what the other call forwards are, but basically you'll meet Chris Rock, who is the 13th apostle, and you'll meet Selma Hayek, who is a muse named Serendipity. And you're gonna have some laughs along the way. And who tells her all of this? Why, it's Professor Snape himself.
Professor
Caterpillar
Snape
from
himself.
Alice in Wonderland. Hans Effin Gruber. L. Rickman.
Al Rickman.
Great
actor. Killing it.
Always
great
happy
actor.
To see Al Rickman. Have you seen CBGB movie?
Ooh. No, the one that came out in, like, what, 2013? Yeah, okay. No.
I saw that shit in the theater because I was working at the Sunshine, and I could get passed into a bunch of places for free and didn't have any other interests. So that's all I would do is just go to see movies. And, yeah, it was one of those. It was like, this is the one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I hope it never ends. Like, I had the time. I was like alone in the theater, and it has the tenor and energy of a Disney Channel original movie. But it also features scenes of, like, you know, the dead boys cutting their chests open with broken bottles, but it still feels like you're watching Lizzie McGuire. You know, it's so bad. And Alan Rickman is giving us nothing, and we are living for it. It's bad, but I recommend it. Go check it out. That's all. Just wanted to bring that up.
I want to watch that. And that, do a double feature of that and the Stonewall movie.
Right. That's the same guy, right?
Oh, is it?
I
just know
for
that
some reason they had the same energy, the same.
I feel like the Stonewall movie was like, he's dead now. The guy who did St. Elmo's Fire.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
For some reason, I associated those things. Maybe because they're just both about seminal New York landmarks.
Oh, no. It was directed by Roland Emmerich.
Director
of Independence Day and Godzilla and The Day After Tomorrow and Moonfall. Wow.
That is from Stonewall to Moonfall. We got it all.
Holy shit. Where Pride Began is the tagline of the movie. Are they wrong? Tell me there. Tell me when I'm telling lies, Fesh.
Oh, God. All right. So the voice of God, because if God himself were to come and speak to you, your human brain, and it could not comprehend it, and you would be shattered into a million pieces or whatever. I don't know. This is just like a bunch, again, dogma, a bunch of rules and laws and concepts. And it feels very much like reading a superhero Wikipedia page to be like, so what's his deal? And why? What's his, like, what's going on? And I don't know. It scratches that itch for me. And, yeah, so there's a very, a man appears in her bedroom, and so she's very understandably concerned what that could mean for her. But to put her at ease, he pulls down his pants to reveal a shot that he is very much, come on, guys, let's say it, Ken doll down there.
He's a Ken doll. He ain't got no genitalia.
And I don't know, Alan Rickman's performance is just like, again, I talk about a lot of how the actor has to justify a lot of Kevin's bullshit a lot of times, and sometimes they can't. Rickman can. He is appropriately annoyed, just like,
yes.
Fucking explain everything to you, Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's like, well, yeah, you do, but
he has that perfect, like, defeated, frustrated energy of, like, yeah, a DMV employee. Someone who's just like, fuck, damn it.
Or
but they've accepted they can't leave.
Who was hopeful that maybe if I said it once, this time, I wouldn't have to repeat myself. Ah, fuck. Nope, I'm going to have to repeat myself. Okay. Here it is. But he's great. They get teleported to a Mexican restaurant for some reason. I guess to prove
he's trying to prove his powers, that he's not just that he, you know, and she thinks they went to Mexico. He's like, actually, we're down the street from your apartment, but they've got some pretty good nachos.
cool stuff, good stuff.
He can't drink. He gets two tequila and a
empty
shot glasses because some angel fucked it up for everybody. Which don't you hate it when one coworker ruins something for everybody?
Yep. And so that sense of humor right there, that riff you just did, is kind of the tenor and spirit of this thing of like, and this is a very trite thing now, but just the notion of mythical creatures or you know, theological figures being treated like a job. It's just like office. It's just like being garbage man, being angel. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's been so many of those things now that some of those jokes fall a little flat, but it's not this movie's fault. It's everything that came after it, just, you know, polluting the waters, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I just want to give a shout out to Brian Johnson, Walter Flanagan, two of the comic book men from AMC's Comic Book Men, a spinoff reality series that I've watched all of, seasons. It is the zenith of tune in, tune out programming. It is hardly a television show, and it rules. It's exactly, if you just need to have white noise on in the background, it's there. It's perfect. But they were in Mallrats. Yeah, go ahead.
I think they're friends of his from high school or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And is it just them talking about comic books they read that day?
It's everyone. It's Pawn Stars, but in a comic book store.
Okay.
And again, the parts that's most thrilling to me is when somebody comes in with a comic book and they actually talk about the comic book, and then it's the same thing every time. It's like, so I was looking for 500 for it. I can't do 500. Can you do 180? How about 300? 290. That's as high as I can go. 300? All right, I can do 300. Like, that's how it goes every single time. And that's the best part. The other stuff is when they have to just import, like, shitty sitcom plot lines into a quote-unquote reality show where it's like, Ming, I bet you won't be able to sell as much as me at the flea market this weekend. And we cut back and forth to that. Or, we're going to BronyCon, and it's, you know, I'm going to win the costume contest. And it's a reality show. It's fake, dumb nonsense, but with a milieu that I appreciate, you know, a patina that I appreciate. And But anyway, yeah, they were in Mallrats. They were the comic book guys outside of the comic book store. And they are also two of the protesters in this movie. And I just wanted to give a shout out to them.
Yeah. Fesh, I just got some breaking news about this movie that I think we should share now.
Okay.
According to Kevin Smith, this is according to the IMDb trivia. So you know it's true. According to Kevin Smith, Linda Fiorentino was very difficult to work with. Some days she wouldn't even speak to him. He later said he wished he'd offered the role to Janine Garofalo instead.
Yeah.
They didn't get along until Kevin Smith had a heart attack in 2018.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
At which point she reached out to him, and he said, I was thankful to hear from her, and it also gave me a chance to say, I'm so sorry that I ever said that thing years ago. It gives you a chance to make amends. So that was my favorite one. Well, that's nice.
That is nice. She apparently is pretty... That's not an uncommon story. That's all. I don't have any inside track, but she's difficult to work with is the common story. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep.
My guess would be... it's interesting when he's like, well, why wouldn't they offer to Gene first, you know? But then it probably is like a studio thing of like, well, this is a bigger budget and she's not known enough to be the lead and this person was in Men
and
in Black.
What's, again, and my warped perspective on it. It's like, I know Janine Garofalo way more than I know Florentino, but yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah. So then one night, she's locking up and some folks are harassing her outside of the clinic and Snoochie Boochies, what a triumphant moment as their two shadowed figures come in and swoop in and save the day. And it's our boys, Bob and Jay.
Yeah.
It's always funny to say the names kind of wrong, JZT. That's a tip for you. If you say the names kind of wrong, pretty funny. Santino Marella is a future Hall of Famer in the WWE based on doing that alone.
Let me try. Dash Weiler and Dax Hard. This is a flop.
Can I give some notes?
Yes, please.
A little too wrong. What I mean by kind of wrong is it's not technically an entirely different name.
Mm-hmm.
But just like we, you know, normally people call them Dax and Cash. So I would say Cash and Dax.
Okay.
It's like saying CM instead of Punk.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
It's like, That's just my track. Do with it what you want to do. I don't know.
You know who I'm? My favorite member of the BCC is Castagnoli.
All right. So they help her out. They make some good Tumblr bait with Jay saying, you know, that women's bodies are their own business. I feel like I saw that gif circulated a lot in the last year, if you know what I mean.
If Jay can get it, why can't the GOP
get
it?
To be fair.
Yeah.
Of all people. So they go to a diner. They're trying to go to Chicago, as referenced at the end of Chasing Amy. They didn't say why at the end of Chasing Amy. They do say in this, because Silent Bob is such a fan of John Hughes that he hopes to visit the fictional town that is in that universe of all of those movies. To what end? I don't know. Why? Like, what is he going to do once he gets there? Who can say?
Cry. But, yeah, it's a pilgrimage to Mecca.
Yeah, like that. There you go.
Right.
And turns out that town don't exist. And now they got to get back to Jersey.
And
looks
Linda
like we found our profits, folks.
Wait a minute. And she says, "Take me with you." And they think she wants to bone them, but she's like, "No, no." And Jay makes a deal. He says, "Hey, if there was 5 minutes to live." Would you have sex with us then? She says, yeah, okay, fine.
Which is very obviously setting something up when you say it like that. But in the movie, to me, it genuinely felt like Chuffa, just Jay being Jay, didn't really think would come back moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. So then, yeah, Jason Lee is what's his name? Is he Beelzebub? What's his name? Azrael? I want to say
he
it's Azrael.
Is. Oh my lord! Oh anyway, my lord!
He's one of the demons. He's not like Satan, but he's one of the demons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's Azrael.
Azrael, yeah.
And he it's kind of a it's a mad world, a little bit Cannonball Run. We just got a bunch of tracks all trying to get us to this church here, and I kind of forget what Azrael's motivation is, but
because he's in hell, he can't be forgiven, or he's a demon.
Yeah,
the other two are fallen angels,
right?
So he's trying to prompt, he's the one who sent the clipping to them.
Okay, he's the mastermind.
Because later, the star is like, why would you, do you realize, like, if you do this, all reality will be destroyed. You'll die, too. And he's like, yeah, you've never been to hell, lady. It's
right.
Awful.
Exactly.
I want out. You know, this is his out, his end game.
Yeah. Listen, I was about to say, I can't say I blame him. I can blame him, but I do see where he's coming from. I get it.
That's right. Folks aren't the best villains, just... like us.
I mean, hold on to your ass here, but what if Azrael's the hero and all of the villains in the movie are actually, all the heroes are actually the villains?
Okay, this guy's actually a feminist. Have you thought about it? He treats everyone equal because he wants everyone to die? That's a feminist if you ask me.
So they're walking around, their car breaks down, whatever. And Chris Rock falls out of the sky butt-ass naked.
Uh-huh.
And it's this, you know, what does he say? Jay says something like, guys who are willing to help don't just fall out of the sky, and then he does. And then he goes, beautiful big-titted women don't just fall out of the sky, trying to make it happen again. Oh, Jay.
Funny Jay.
Yeah, they go to a movie burger, they express, you know, some more exposition gets dumped, they find Serendipity at a strip club, she's a muse, we're collecting all of our guys, you know, it's...
The scene with Selma Hayek as Serendipity, it's a little...
Yeah.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I didn't like it.
Right,
but
and I also went in, like, with hunched shoulders, being like, oh boy, and it was way more chaste than I thought it was going to be. And
oh,
I think
sure, yeah.
That's kind of my angle on the entire view of Skewerverse. Like, it's bawdy, it's raunchy, it says a lot of stuff, but it's not like getting off on. It's not like Porky's. It's not
correct.
You know,
yeah.
I expected a lot more of that. When it feels more kind of in the vein of like a Wet Hot American Summer thing, where it's like it's about that kind of stuff, but we're kind of gonna quote unquote punish the viewer for expecting that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the next scene is a shit monster coming out of the toilet, and yeah.
Yeah, people can and say, will say filthy things, but we don't need to see filthy things, you
right.
know.
Well, later we will, as this journey goes on, but it's not for titillation's sake. It's for, like comedic juxtaposition and stuff. Again, if we really want there's a lot of sitting down and drawing diagrams in this movie. Not literally, but just like, let me explain to you the rules of how this is all going to go. And I totally follow and I like it, but it's not really exciting podcasting for us just to explain the same things.
Exactly, yes.
That Chris Rock does in the movie. But, I don't know. It's, I just kind of am on the exact same wavelength with it at all times. And just like, that makes sense to me. Yep, that tracks to me. Including, you know, when they go to the head of Disney and shoot them all up. Essentially. it's very, what's the word? On the nose, it's very, you know, this. It's the same energy of you see the stickers of like a gloved hand giving a middle finger, like, you know, could you imagine if the people in Disney were actually evil? It's like, yeah, no, we don't have to imagine anything. They're people in a boardroom. They're people making money. Now, the one thing that made me tilt my head a little bit was this cartoon was established in 1989, and by 1999 already has theme parks on both coasts. I don't think so, honey.
No, no. I don't think so, honey. That is just not how... that is not how real estate works.
Way too fat. Like, that is a very successful sacred cow. By the way, do I Don't Think So, Honey's on this podcast anymore or no?
I think we should. Yeah, I'm down to...
Okay. I had one. I can't think of it right now. If it comes up again later, I'll
raise my hand.
Yeah, so the two angels explain all the evil deeds that the CEOs of whatever Disney is called in this world, but it's clearly representing Disney with Mubi, the golden calf. It's a pretty, boondock saintsy, your parents won't like this scene kind of scene. Which, it's not my favorite scene, but describing it makes it sound worse than it felt when I watched it. Did you ever see that movie God Bless America, the Bobcat Goldthwait film?
I did, yes.
Yeah. It's a similar movie where it's like, if I describe any scene in that movie, you're like, that sucks, fuck that movie. Yeah. And ultimately, when you watch it, it goes down smoother than it sounds.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it. I also saw it with guys who had a bad attitude, so it colored it a little bit. But it was fun.
I think it's watchable, but on the whole, just like, I don't know about this.
Yeah. It's a little bit like, it's like a movie version of talking to someone. You're like, hey, man, chill out. I guess it is unfortunate that there's a lot of reality shows on TV.
Right.
I don't think so, honey.
Yeah, that whole movie is an I Don't Think So, Honey about pop, like American culture. I Don't Think So, Honey.
Mm-hmm.
It's weirdly about William Hung. Like, that movie clutches in an analog of William Hung.
That's right, yeah.
I do think if you talk to Bobcat, he would be like, oh, I mean it, but I not enough to even come close to doing anything that's represented in that movie. It's just extrapolating off of the clenched fist feelings that I have when I hear these things. You know?
Yes.
But anyway, trying to come up with a can't hardly Goldthwait?
Goldthwait? Can't hardly Goldthwait, yeah.
I don't know. We'll do that down the road. But so George Carlin's in this movie. Also, sorry, JC, I feel like I've totally commandeered this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Just having a not out of body experience, but just a very
hey, now baby, we're all here. You're taking the lead on this one. It's good,
yes,
you know.
I have taken the lead because I'm the number one fan of this movie.
That's right.
I am. Remember Foursquare?
Yeah.
I'm the mayor of Dogma.
Oh, man. I remember hanging out with my friend's college professor who, like, he, like, was his freshman teacher. And then, like, the next semester he was teaching somewhere else or whatever. Or maybe a year later. Mm-hmm. And then he came back. And he's like, oh, guys, we're going to hang out. His name is Strabone. It's like, we're going to hang out with Strabone. And it's like, cool. And then this, 40-year-old guy who's like, yeah, I'm really into this app, Foursquare.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, right? And then.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, I'm the mayor of this bar. No one else checks in, though.
It's not really popping off. There's nothing else to it. It was literally like, click, I am here. End of experience.
Yeah.
There were like badges that came with it.
Yep.
Or whatever. And that was the end of it. And it's like, okay.
I think some places would be like, you can get 10% off one drink if you check in and show us.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Yeah. It was really just a chronicling, right? Of where a guy has been. That's. Now, you know whose Foursquare account I would have loved to have seen?
Ooh, who?
Forrest Gump's.
Dude. That guy would have been crazy.
That guy had a crazy life, Forrest.
Stupid is stupid does.
Life is like a box of chocolates. Jedi.
Lieutenant Dan, what happened to your lives?
Did that movie win Best Picture?
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
Best
That's actor, cool.
Best Picture.
That's cool. That's cool.
Probably Best Screenplay.
That's cool. That's cool. Because the thing is, he's like the feather in the beginning. He's just blowing in the wind, man. Like that, that feather.
That movie, you know. Yeah, there's also just, you know, some people's brains don't evolve, Fesh. And I'm not talking about Forrest Gump-like people.
Okay.
Otherwise, rational people who saw that movie at the time, you're like, that movie was crazy. Go, oh, it's so delightful. Tom Hanks is so great. It's like,
yeah, I.
Okay.
I obviously, we all have that for things. But I don't know. I will say it is a. Again, just it's a nice, it's a watchable little thing.
Yeah, it's
it
charming.
Is perplexing.
Yeah, it, yes.
But
it should be a disaster, but it isn't somehow.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But
it speaks to the craft of it, because yeah, if you think about any of the details, it's like, what the fuck?
We watched this mentally disabled guy come in that movie.
Yeah.
And we're all watching it in like schools and summer camps, and it's just like, let's watch Tom Hanks come. Yeah, I really got to pee.
And Jenny. And Jenny.
Run, Forrest, run! That's a line we haven't said. Run, Forrest,
run!
Run,
Forrest, run!
That's always the interesting thing, especially when it's movies you like didn't see when they came out, and then you go back and watch it. I did see Forrest Gump when it came out, but like Star Wars, it took me famously a long time to watch. When you're like, that's the line, and that's all it was in the movie. Why did that become the thing? Like, run, Forrest, run! Obviously, it's very teed up in the movie, but it's just, I don't know. It's literally just a thing people say to him because he. This isn't a Forrest Gump podcast. I'm sorry.
Hey, it's all right, baby. This is a Dogma podcast. And I'm the Hump Daddy, and this is Fesh. We introduced it, right?
What's that?
Good. We introduced ourselves, right?
Yeah. I'm the Bartleby.
I'm Matt Damon. He's
Loki.
Ben Affleck. Yeah.
George Carlin's in this movie. He plays a cardinal who's like, you know, got George Carlin energy. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
He likes golfing.
Apparently, he didn't want to remove his wedding band because he had recently lost his wife. So he wore a Band-Aid to hide it.
Aww.
Although, IMDb says, this is actually unnecessary as the Pope gives each cardinal an episcopal ring as a symbol of their office. Although these rings almost always contain gems or precious stones, especially amethyst.
All right. Okay, I just gotta say, the Catholic Church is so fucking weird.
What a weird.
And it's just, you know, I guess I'll leave it at that. It's too much of an avenue to go down. But yeah. What a weird fucking thing that is.
It's so, you know, rules. Silly organizations
but
and their rules.
Dogma. The aesthetic is back, though. It's the hottest thing right now. Girls love Catholicism. As a vibe in 2023.
This is true. That's a trip. Yeah.
It's back. And hey, Godspeed. Do what you want.
Ethel Kane. She's a musician. She's pretty cool.
Okay.
She has some kind of vibes like that, I think.
I think it all, you know, I think Fleabag really opened the door for that. That priest. Yeah. That, we love him.
I went to a Gen Z party.
Yeah.
A lot of Gen Z people. It was the theme of the party was unconventional zaddies. One of the girls who I'm friends with. She explained it to me. She was like, well, I'm going to be Danny DeVito. I said, okay. And she goes, and my roommate is going to be the priest from Fleabag. Yes?
Sure.
Yes.
Who's a conventional zaddy? If not Danny DeVito or the guy from Fleabag. Like, those are pretty far poles from each other. I'm trying to think if not either of those.
Yeah, let's see. Who's like the hottest dad on TV or in movies?
But conventional.
Like Brad Pitt?
Okay. Okay, so if I went as Aldo from Inglourious Basterds to be like, get out. He's too get conventional. Out.
You're not allowed. Go change. Come back.
We were just texting the other day that words now more than ever, faster than ever, I should say, just lose their meaning and can mean whatever you want to use them as. And I just, I don't know.
Well, yes. Yes. We have to save the children, folks.
I ain't got to do shit, man. That's what I got to realize. I have to realize it's on me. I'm telling you, I have this thing where if I overhear somebody, it's like, oh, this is my problem now. Because I heard it, I am now party to this, and it's up to me. And I'm like, no, it has nothing to do with you. Fucking move on. I am fully aware that most of the stuff that in this world that bothers me is just me looking for it. And I gotta stop.
Gotta hop, skip away. Let's see. Okay, let's see. Is there any other fun trivia we should get into, or let's see.
Bob throws somebody off of the train and he says no ticket, which I didn't realize was an Indiana Jones reference until this time I saw it, because I had seen this movie twice before I'd seen any Indiana Jones movies. Yeah. That's at least two Indiana Jones movies quotes in each of his movies. Of course, famously, No Time for Love, Dr. Jones was quoted in Clerks.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is quoted in this one.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know if I have a Kobayashi Maru for this one.
Again, they kind of found... I think maybe casting actors helped a little
Yeah.
Again, it's a very dense movie, so anything that you're going to do is just explaining rules, and it's not... It's like saying Inception is full of Kobayashi Maru. It's like, it is, but mm-hmm. that's what the movie is. You know?
Yes. And so, let's see, this... What else? What else happens in this movie? What are we doing?
Alanis Morissette plays God. I don't know. Do you got anything about that?
That is something that still to this day confuses me a little bit.
Okay.
Only in that it feels like a very of its time joke, and I'm not mm-hmm. totally sure if I'm reading too much into it, or I'm supposed to read into it, or if it's mm-hmm. just like a funny, hey, who'd be a funny person to play God? Mm. You know, is the joke being that, like, oh, her songs are so wise and she knows all? Is it?
Yeah, I definitely feel like at the time it felt like something.
Yes.
I can't explain what, but now you watch it now and you're like, yeah, sure. Because he does explain, like, God takes different physical forms. It's like not like Alanis is God forever. It's just that's what God looks like then, in that
yes.
moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's like by 99, she was kind of done, right? Like,
she
was still around, but, like, it
yeah, like
wasn't 94 the same.
94 and 95 were, like, the
yeah.
big years, and
yeah.
then... There's kind of, and she kind of like disappeared for a little bit.
Yeah. Nonverbal performance does pretty good.
And I like that God's funny. You know, what is the meaning of life? And pokes her on the nose. That oddly touched me. You know,
I think this movie is an oddly touching movie. Like,
yes. Yeah.
So the thing is, she works in an abortion clinic, and she is also barren. And now there's probably some gender politics stuff that I am not equipped to really handle, nor is Kevin, that isn't so great about this, but purely looking at it in like black and white stick figure plot, the idea that we haven't said this, she is the last descendant of Christ. She is the end of the line. And everybody's like, Christ didn't have any kids. And this is one of those things that embedded in my mind that I didn't realize was really from this movie. Chris Rock saying, the Bible goes from him being what, 12 to, or 10 or whatever, to 33. That's all those years are just lost. We don't know what he did in that time. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, that isn't it. Kevin, you're right. That is crazy. And so the idea is he got jiggy with it. He made whoopee. And and hey, and who can blame him? Come on,
the
man. He's only you.
Hump daddy. The original hump daddy.
And so I don't know. I again it may be there's a read to it that is a little fucked up that this is a victory, but at the end of the movie, God, like, you know, lays her hands on her stomach and she is not the last Saiyan anymore. She is now with child, and it starts that whole process over again. Again, there's when you extrapolate and there's more meaning to it, I'm sure it's not so great, but just in the moment, it feels just like. Like you said, tight screenplay, just like, yes, everybody got what they wanted. Yay! Yeah. And it worked on me in the moment. What was the other thing? Oh, the other thing that I do think is genuinely profound and nice. Oh, let me jump back a little bit. A big theory I've been having the last couple of years here is anything that is mostly apolitical but can also be enjoyed by conservatives kind of gets rounded down to be conservative.
Mm-hmm.
The prime example I always use, which is kind of in the family tree of what we're talking here, is Impractical Jokers. Those dudes aren't conservative, but they also don't actively do anything that would tell you they aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so they have a following of people that is, you know, across the spectrum of politics. And I think because of that, and some of it's just snobbery, but like they get kind of drafted in. Like country music has to be so explicitly liberal to be accepted. You know what I mean? You're immediately totally, like, I don't like country music unless it's explicitly about how being gay is okay and what, you're like.
Uh huh. Yes. And
I think Kevin is on the border of that a lot of the time. So this movie being about all this stuff. Again, I was raised Catholic. My parents are no longer practicing Catholics, but still very much Christian. They watched this movie, which is, I watched it again this time. I'm like, this is insane. I cannot imagine my, at least my mom sitting through this shit. But then at the end of it, it's like, he never does anything that says it's bullshit. He's never, it says either, like, go to church. It is just, like you said, it's a comic book, right? We're just reading this and there's lessons to extrapolate from it. I really like the part where she's, I think it's talking to Janine, and it's like, church used to feel good. And I forget who actually says it, but they say something like, well, it's like a cup, right? It grows with you, and again, it takes more to fill.
Yes.
And I think that is like, that can be applied to all religions. It can be applied to non-religious things. It can be applied to life. And I don't think it's the most profound thing in the world either, but it is a very nice, succinct encapsulation of a feeling of being dawning on middle age or middle age and just being like, huh. How come it ain't as good anymore? Whatever it is.
Sure, yeah.
The cup gets bigger, so it takes more to fill, you know? And I don't know. I think there is a delicate... this movie's not delicate in a lot of its aesthetic or its choices, but like its handling of all of this stuff. It's not South Park. Yeah. And I kind of expected it to be South Park. It's not pointing at everything and saying everything is bullshit. It's kind of doing that thing of like, if this is what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about it. And we're going to play in its rules and explore why those rules exist. And if not even if they should, just like what that means to people. And I don't know, not to be too highfalutin into whatever about it, but it's like that is all art, right? Like that is just taking all of these big ideas and saying, here they are. How does it make you feel? And again, this is only our fourth episode. This is three movies removed from Clerks. And again, I don't think this is an all and out masterpiece. And I could totally understand anybody turning on and be like, no. It just totally, totally works for me. Thoughts, right, JZ?
You know, it got the whole thing with the cup. I do think it's interesting. It has, because maybe this just is a thoughts on faith or spirituality or hope or whatever. But so much of it too, it's like in addition to like cups growing, aging, whatever. It's like when you're little, like you don't really have experienced setbacks or, you know, like loss. Things will happen to you, but your brain isn't really fully aware of, like, people's parents can die and like tragic pets die. But you're, you know, it's as you age and grow, you're like, wait a minute, why did this happen to me? You know, like, why did I lose this thing? Those are the challenges, you know, and I think those are the things that make people question faith and everything, you know, and it is, I think that's the thing. It gets hard to wrap your head around. It logically says, this book says, if I believe in this guy, he'll protect me. This bad thing happened to me. You know, that like cancels that logic out, you know, but then so much of faith is just like, I'm just going to, even though all this bad stuff has happened, I will keep going, you know, and.
Right.
And it's a hard thing to do. I think, as life gets harder or difficult or, you know, hardships happen.
I think a lot of non-religious folks, which I consider myself, but like look from the outside, look in and go, oh, they see Christians or specifically Catholics see it as like, I can do whatever I want and live however I want because I have faith in this guy will come save me, or this life doesn't matter, so the afterlife is going to happen. I think there is still plenty of that. But what you just touched on there is of the notion of like, because I believe in this, I will keep going despite that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that this is to me is not important. It's the having the this that, you know, just having that thing to get you through it. I'll be honest, again, having been raised Catholic, I don't understand that there still is this giant disconnect for me. Like, you look at like a Shawn Michaels or anybody who's like born again, to be like how specific it can be for some people. It's like, no, you need Jesus. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know what he does specifically that made you kick whatever caused the problems before. I'm happy you did. I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Everything's great. But like, because she talks about it in the movie. Up until, so I full on like believed in God and prayed until after seeing this movie for the first time. Like, the movie didn't throw it out, but I'm saying it circulated around the same time. I was watching Dogma and praying that same night, you know? And in the same way that I was sneaking down to South Park, watch South Park with my brother in 1996. I was in first grade. It's just, we're doing it because it's what's on. And I don't really have the maturity to digest what it is, but they're saying funny words. So it's funny, right?
Yeah.
So I wasn't tackling Dogma when I watched it. But anyway, the faith pretty much went out the window with 9/11 for me. And because it was also, it happened in the same year that it was in sixth grade. I was learning about slavery. I was learning about the Titanic. I was learning about the Holocaust. And 9/11 happened. And I was just like, again, I'm 10 or 11 years old. I'm not sitting there going, I have decided. I have crunched the numbers. There's no way I'm done. It just happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, it's my parents, as I said, my parents still very much practice. We've had plenty of the cliche arguments before, though. Thankfully, I think those are about a decade behind us. It's like there's no need to try to convince one another of anything from either side. And I think both sides have softened a little bit on the other person's perspective to begin with, too. And I don't know. That's why I feel like this weird... not ownership, but this is why this one is the one for me, because it's like I can just tell, but that Kevin's the same, like he's going through it too, and then I don't know, it just really feels. I never saw Her Smell, and it's on my list, but we talked about it when it came out. That, you know, that's your movie, man. And it's,
oh yeah,
and I. Even if when I do see it, I love it. I'm not gonna love it the same way that you do. And again, I don't mean that to say you can't love Dogma like I do.
But oh, no,
I'm
sure,
just, it's like that there's just something in this that is just like, it feels like this was made for the Fesh household.
Like, totally. Yeah.
Every element up from comic books to movies to Catholicism, the actors cast within it. It just like, this was so pitched for us. And yeah, I don't know. I am thankful for it.
Hell yeah. I like the movie too.
That's good. That's good. I like that. I like that you like it.
It is funny.
I'm a little immature baby sometimes, and I got very nervous today. Of like, oh, I don't want to argue about this movie today. No. So I'm so
pleased. I was very pleasantly surprised. I'm like, hey, this is solid, Kevin, and good. Yeah. And I think it's funny too. It does just remind me of like, this was just like, I don't know. This movie hits so hard on Comedy Central. Like
yes.
You just tune in and watch. It's like, oh hell yeah, you know.
Well. I watched High School High the other day, and I'm just like, comedy movies sure did change in the aughts. Judd Apatow really did take a shovel to an entire style.
Yeah.
And
it's a shame because, like, then in 2007, You Don't Mess With the Zohan comes out, and everyone goes, boo, fuck this, fuck this. We don't do that anymore. It's like, it's like the funniest movie of, like, one of the funniest, you know.
There's jokes in it, is what you mean, is that there's jokes in it.
There's a story, it moves along. It's not
There's sets for a comedy. Like, they made giant props and sets for a comedy. They don't do that anymore.
Like, we're at a Best Buy now. We're at a playground. Yep. We're here. Just make fun of people.
Yep.
Okay, and now to the next scene, come up with the different riffs, you know.
Yeah. Sorry. The ambition for this is great, and then... It just sucks to look back in hindsight to be like, and what's next? Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Which, you know, I don't, spoilers for that episode, I don't like as much as Dogma.
No.
but is not, I don't know, we'll get into it when we get into it, but it's like, I mentioned it in our Chasing Amy episode, the kind of structure, and I think he's even copped to this a little bit of, let me get out of the Jay and Silent Bob's View Askew vs. Bubble for a minute. Oh, you guys didn't like that. I guess I'll go back.
Mm-hmm.
And Dogma still is in the View Askew vs. Still has Jay and Silent Bob in it, but still spiritually feels very different.
Yes.
And then next is the most. Here is the most Jay and Silent Bob View Askew vs. thing you could ever imagine.
Boy, oh boy.
Until reboot, which I've never seen, until, you know.
Boy, yeah. I watched that. Oh boy,
you did.
I watched it in early COVID. Yes.
Oh
yeah.
No.
Okay. I mean, you know, get strapping. It's gonna be fun. Well, this podcast is gonna get weird.
Yeah. You know, I'll save my thoughts. I have some thoughts already. I'll save them for those episodes. But Dogma cool. Dogma good. Oh, funny joke shout out. Can I give a funny joke shout out?
Yes. While I pull up the box office.
Excellent. As it relates to perfect pitch for the Fesh household, they're talking about, the angels are talking about how, you know, performing the apocalypse is the most physically taxing thing you can do. Well, except for soccer. Like, my family was a big soccer family. Like, it was just so. Because you would think in a Kevin Smith movie, he would have said hockey there. Because he's such a hockey head,
mm-hmm.
but he's given it's due. Soccer, there's no downtime. There's you are going for 45 minutes, and then you are going for 45 minutes plus. Like it's a tough thing. Oh, you're excited about this box office, JCD?
Let's fucking jump into
it, my man.
Number one.
It's 1999, so this is gonna be heavy hitters here. Yeah.
So this is November 12th to 1999. I'm 9 years old. Holy shit.
Freshly. No, aren't you freshly 10? Aren't you freshly 10? Oh, you were born. You were born in 89, weren't you?
You're right. Yeah. So, yes. I'm 9 most of 99. Yeah. And then I turned 10 for 2. That's right. That's how that works. Okay. Yes. I've just turned 10 years old.
You just hit double digits, my guy.
I'm living in Newport Beach, California. I'm a gamer, and this movie, I'm fucking pumped for. It's an animated movie based on a video game.
A video game in 1999? It's Pokemon, the first movie.
That's right, and the subtitle, Mewtwo Strikes Back.
Sure.
An insane title.
For the first movie? Yeah.
The first movie, a character we haven't met before, strikes back.
Now, did you get the promotional trading card when you went to see this movie?
I think so.
Hell yeah.
I remember too, it was one of these movies where it's like my parents were like reading reviews going like, oh no, this is, it's gonna suck. We have to go.
Yeah.
They we cannot talk him out of it. But like other parents too were like, are you guys sure? Like,
well, could this... you fucking imagine being, how old would your parents have been at the time? You know?
Yeah. What? 45, 50.
And being dropped into the middle of Pokemon lore.
Yeah.
Good God.
Something you already kind of have, I'm sure, some beef with, like, my fucking
you're already
kid's
annoyed
always
about
doing
it.
This. I'm concerned about it.
It's costing a lot of money.
Yeah.
Fucking trading cards.
It's, and then, like, and then there's a cartoon. Oh, geez, yeah. Did you see that movie in theaters, Fesh?
No, I actually have never seen it all the way through. Just some highlights on VHS. I, with Pokemon, was like, I liked the cards. I watched a little bit of the show. That's the end of my fandom, as I liked the cards and I watched a little show. I never really sat down and played any of the games. I've never seen any of the movies. I haven't listened to our boy Brendan Zellman's podcast, Who's That Pokemon? I've been meaning to, but I haven't gotten around to it. Who the fuck are you texting, for Christ's sake?
Oh, sorry. Meat and Potatoes Wrestling. One of the wrestlers made a post, a sponsored. They're taking their characters. They're living the gimmick, baby.
Great.
You'll love
Great.
To see it.
Great.
All right. Yes. Sorry.
All right. Number two.
Number two. What a weekend. What a weekend. Okay. All right. So, you know, again, this is that era where there were tons of different genres.
Yes. Oh, what a different time.
And this one, oh. Oh, my God. This is like, it's two stars. And it's
okay.
About a quadriplegic ex-homicide detective and his partner trying to track down a serial killer who was terrorizing New York City.
Huh. I would have thought quadriplegic would have given that away from me. Huh.
One of the people, he's in a movie right now that, like, a sequel that's doing pretty well, I guess. My parents went and saw it.
I always love it when I hit his couch with, I don't really know if that's true, but
I'm not even fucking wrong. Oh.
It's a sequel that's out right now.
A third sequel, yes.
Third in the movie? I don't know, JCT.
It's Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie.
Equalizer 3 is the movie that's in theaters now, but I don't know this one.
This one is The Bone Collector.
I've heard of that.
There was a bone
movie
collector
before. I've heard of that movie before.
All right. Number three, It's Dogma, raking in $8 million.
Hey, there
pretty
you go.
Good. Pretty good. Number four, this is a movie, another quasi religious ish movie.
Ooh.
Religious. A religious movie, It's about a young girl who receives a vision that drives her to rid France of its oppressor.
Well, that's Joan of Arc.
That's right. The Messenger, the story of Joan of Arc.
What's her name? Zazie.
I remember having a crush on her.
She's from Never Been Kissed.
Yes.
Lulu. Lily? Lily. Lily Zabeski. That's it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Wait. Oh, wait. Mila Jovovich was in it, too?
Cool.
Ooh.
Unless I'm thinking of a different Joan of Arc movie. I could have sworn
it was
Lily Zabeski.
Yes. You're thinking of, because, I don't think, I know who you're thinking of. Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. Joan of Arc. What a character from history.
What a queen. We stand. All right.
Queen.
Let's go.
We stand. Number four.
Number five.
Number five. You're right. Okay. This is a three-word title.
Is it like part of a song lyric?
Okay, so this is like a mother-daughter movie.
Okay.
Comedy?
Drama? What's going on?
It looks like it's a comedy drama. Okay, so they have some laughs, but there's also some tears.
Mm.
It's rated PG-13, starring, I'll give you the star, Natalie Portman and Susan Sarandon.
Oh, it's the Walmart movie. I don't know the name of it, though.
Anywhere But Here.
Anywhere But Here.
Which is a movie I never saw, but I always heard described. I'm like, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, she gives birth to a baby in a Walmart or something.
They live in a Walmart?
Yeah.
What? Can you even do that?
Huh. 1999, big year for movies. Not a great weekend.
No.
Yeah, Matrix, Sixth Sense, Blair Witch, you know. Yeah. Like,
well, interesting you say that. We got the Sixth Sense at number 10. It's it's made $267 million at that point. Double Jeopardy at number 9, sure. House on Haunted Hill at number 8, The Bachelor, The Insider at number 6, American Beauty at number 13. Wowee.
Another best picture that is found in the modern world.
Being John Malkovich, hanging in at number 14.
Is Stuart Little in there? Where's Stuart Little?
Let's see. Oh, it must be. Oh, not out yet. Fuck.
Not out yet. Okay.
Oh, Fight Club's at number 18. Three Kings at number 20.
Yeah.
The Straight Story at 23. Princess Mononoke, 27.
Hayao Miyazaki.
Drive Me Crazy, starring Melissa Joan Hart at 29.
I was just thinking about that movie earlier today. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
There's a Less Than Jake song pretty early in that song, in that movie. And I was listening to that Less Than Jake song today. I went, well, what was that movie? This was it? Yes, Drive Me Crazy.
She drives me crazy. Killer song, that is.
It's a great song. Fine Young Cannibals. Because he does the two voices. You got the verse voice, which is very high.
Yeah.
And this is the chorus voice isn't not high, but it's just like more aggro. It's not falsetto, at least.
Here's another crazy thing. Like, this list is like 61 movies.
Mm-hmm.
It does not feel possible to see 61 new movies in all
of
the theaters.
Well, they're not all new, but yeah. If you pull up the AMC app right now, there's probably, 25, and that includes, like, a bunch of Bollywood and Fathom Events.
Yes.
Yeah, 61 is pretty nutso-butso. And the fact that, Dogma debuting number 3 is not always like, way to go. But, like, considering what it is and where it's coming from, you're like, all right, wow, pretty good. Number three. Pretty good. Did Harmony Korine have any movies in 1999? It seems like 1999 and Harmony Korine go hand in hand to me.
Yeah.
That's 1999 energy.
Have you heard about his new movie, Aggro Drift?
No, please tell me.
It sounds nuts. He's basically made a video game as a movie. It's extremely experimental. There's a lot of AI.
What do you mean? Like, it's like that episode of South Park that takes place in World of Warcraft?
I think so, more or less. And it's like very surreal. And there's like a paper thin plot, and it's more
from Harmony.
That's right.
Paper thin plot from Mr. Green.
In 1999, he released Julian Donkey Boy.
See, that's what I said earlier. That's the one I said earlier.
Yes, that's the year. Wow.
I don't know why. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Well,
we come full circle. A Dogma 95 movie.
Yeah.
From Dogma to Dogma 95, that is.
That is. Are you Kevin Smith to me?
Clerks 2.
I can't think. It sucks. We're gonna end this podcast, and then 20 minutes later, and go, that's what my I Don't Think So Honey was going to be. I had two of them ready to go, and now I can't remember them. Son of a bitch.
I know I've been riled up. I've been pretty zen lately, but I've also been riled up.
I've been riled up myself.
I Don't Think So, Honey. People who send messages on Facebook Marketplace and then never come to get something. Don't tell me you're going to come by tomorrow and then don't come by tomorrow.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really do anything anymore. So it must have been streaming services or... I don't know. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Nobody cares. It's fine.
All right. Well, I think, should we wrap it up, Fesh?
I think we gotta wrap it up.
Let's see. Thank you to all of our listeners and friends. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Kevin Smith for making these movies for us. Next week, we'll strike back. Speaking of Strikes Back.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, who do you think will win in a fight, Mewtwo or Jay and Silent Bob? Or the Empire?
Mewtwo beats the Empire.
Right, which weakens
Jay and
them
Silent
up.
Bob
yes,
beat
exactly.
Mewtwo.
That's
they find a way.
It's a good booking. It's triple threat booking there.
Jay and Silent Bob are going, holy shit, this guy's got so much power. He's the greatest Pokemon. And then they're like, wait a minute, what if he got high? And then they get Mewtwo high, and Mewtwo's like, whoa, I need to chill.
Yeah. It would be fun to see Jay and Silent Bob in the Star Wars universe. I'll say it.
Yeah.
Nothing sacred for me when it comes to that stuff. Then I'm in there. Would you be surprised to learn, like, season 4 of The Mandalorian, Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith are in it. They're not Jay and Silent Bob, but they're in it. Or yeah. They're, like, voicing droids that are very heavily inspired by Jay and Silent Bob. You know?
You cannot pay me to watch the new Exana show or any of the Star Wars show.
No, yeah.
But this one feels especially boring. They all are boring to me.
Well, there's a Kevin Smith connection right there.
Rosario Dawson. I like her. I'm not. I don't want that to sound like sexist. Where I'm like, ugh, it's about a woman character. It's like, no. I just don't give a shit about any of it.
Yeah. Again, Star Wars. I like The Last Jedi. The original trilogy is okay. That's it. That's the end of my talking about Star Wars. I got nothing else.
I have to throw this out there, Fesh.
Yeah.
Maybe this is. I don't know if this is a controversial take or a bad take.
No,
I like that actors aren't promoting stuff right now. Like, I'm all for the SAG strike, but I like there's something calming about, like, I don't have to pretend to give a shit about some of these movies.
Well,
nothing's being shoved down my throat, really.
Yeah.
It's like, do we need, or it's like, hey, I'm still finding and seeing the things I wanted to see anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a waste of everyone's time and money, you know?
Well, we're also movie boys. We seek it out and we find it. You know, some people wouldn't know if they didn't know. I agree. I think the less noise, the better. And here I am on a podcast talking about movies. But generally that's my take is, I don't need to hear or see any thing that I don't want to see or hear. So that's good. But all it really means is just like, what, I got 6 more sponsored ads on Instagram. I don't know. I'm still getting bombarded by shit. Every piece of media I watch is still interrupted with Tide Pod ads and dating services that I literally can't be on because I'm not the race they're catered to. So I don't know. I agree. I just think, I don't know. I'm just more than that. I'm just thrilled that the Miracle Workers season 3 ads are finally over.
Oh god, yeah.
Just again, I don't even hate that show. I have no problem with that show. It was just it felt like it was running the same ads for 2 fucking years.
I just feel like for the last 5 years of my life, every week there's been a new episode of Only Murders in the Building.
Sure.
And it's just like this. How is it possible? How is a Hulu show got this many episodes? How is it still?
Yeah, it's what? Three seasons.
Again, never watched it. I think I'd like it.
It's good. It's a good show.
I think Selena Gomez is hot now. That's a new development.
Okay, cool.
Hey, Selena, if you're listening,
go on.
How's it going? You wanna go bowling sometime? I know a couple bowling alleys. I don't know if you live in L.A. You probably live in L.A. You probably got a couple houses.
Yeah, probably.
Hit me up.
Probably
you know?
Live in L.A.
I'd love to tell you my thoughts on Kevin Smith movies. I have met more.
Yeah.
I can tell you, you know.
What ads am I bombarded with, though, right now? I feel like I've kind of skated through without paying much attention to any of them. And it might be at the behest of the strike. Yeah. I don't know. But basically, advertisements are bad.
Mm-hmm.
So can they go on strike? can advertisements go on strike? That'd be cool.
That'd be great. Bye-bye, ads.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right.
And also, bye-bye, listeners. We'll see you next week.
Snoochie boochies.
Snoochie boochies. Righto.